NetCredit is here to say yes, because you're more than a credit score. Apply in minutes and get a decision as soon as the same day. Loans offered by NetCredit or lending partner banks and serviced by NetCredit. Application subject to review and approval. Learn more at netcredit.com/partners. NetCredit. Credit to the people.
Hi, I'm Ariana Madix. Whether I'm on TV or Broadway, I live by two rules. Follow your dreams and always wear great shoes. That's why I love DSW. Must-have shoes that pair well with whatever you've dreamed up for your life. Seriously, DSW has all the shoes you need for everything, from errand days to date nights. And they're from top brands at prices you can totally brag to all your friends about. That's why I've partnered with DSW to create a collection of shoes I know you'll love. Because, let's be real, whether I'm dancing on TV, teaching you how to make the perfect cocktail in my best-selling book, or starting a whole new venture, it's all about the shoes. Find the shoes to do all the amazing things you do in my new collection at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, will you welcome Mr. Adam Hunter?
Oh, nice swivel tap, belly down armbar, and first career submission win for Lupi Godinez.
And hey, you said it. Her next submission is her first, and there you go. She gets her first.
Lupi Godinez.
Welcome to UFC Unfiltered.
Please tell me that's on video. I've never been happier.
I'm made for a fucking podcast. That's dangerous. Listen to me. We're at it.
Welcome to UFC Unfiltered. Matt, before we start, we have our pal Adam Hunter will be in very shortly. A really, really funny comedian and he's heavy into MMA and he knows everything about it. We have Lupi Godinez will be with us. I have a very weird setup because I lost my power thing from my laptop.
Oh.
So I can't, I'm using my iPad for the first time.
It's a little weird, but it is weird. We'll get through it. We'll get through it, my friend.
But I lost my, Matt, I lost my power cord and it's very, very slow getting a new one. So that's what I'm doing. That's what
you know what? We roll with the punches. You know what I mean?
We do.
Like when a joke doesn't land, me back in the day when a strike doesn't land, we don't just fucking pack up our bags and fucking go away.
You can't just pack up your bags.
I said, let's get Adam in because Adam Hunt is so funny. Hey, good to see you, Adam.
Thank you. Good to be here. Thank you guys very much.
Where are you right now?
I'm at my house.
That's so cute. Did you do that for your daughter, like a little princess thing?
Yeah, Russell Peters gave it to me. You know Russell?
Yeah, I love Russell, yeah.
He was like, hey, you want this for your daughter? And then I like put this whole like little slide and this and that. And she like loves it.
How old is your kid now?
She's 3.
Oh, that's so cute.
Yeah. It's the best.
That's really nice. He's a good egg, isn't he, Russell? He's a good dude.
Nicest guy ever. And like, he's one of the guys, like I used to open for him and I'd be like, hey man, anything I can't say or can say, he's like, just kill, make me work.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
Cause he knows that he's going to do well. That's a funny, confident guy. That's how you know he's comfortable. He's like, yeah, just do whatever you want. I don't.
Yeah. Was that how Dice was with you?
Dice very rarely asked me, unless it was something that happened like within the last couple of days. That was brand new topically, but very rarely. No, he didn't give a fuck. I mean, he didn't care what I did. He was going to follow it. And, you know, they forgot I was alive 10 seconds after he was on.
That's fucking great. Adam, we had Chael Sonnen on last week. And you did a thing with some fighters. Now, I know Dean Thomas has some experience. You know, I'm talking about a little bit with the stand-up. I'm not talking about that fucking dreaded improv. But he has some experience on the stage.
Yeah.
But, you know, you took guys like Chael Sonnen and I believe Henry Cejudo, and you did something with them and you put them on stage. What exactly did you do with them and why?
So, because like, you know, I was looking, trying to do something different. And I'm like, well, Fight Pass, most people go to Fight Pass for fighters. Some people go for comedy, but they want to see fighters. And so many fighters now want to do comedy. Like, they're like, hey, I want to do, because they saw Brendan Schaub do it and they kind of like, I'm funnier than whatever. They just want to do it, you know? So I'm like, you know what? Why don't we have a show where we have fighters do comedy and I'll host it and I'll like bookend it. So I'll do 20 in the back and I'll do 20 up front. and then time in between. And then we'll have fighters do comedy because it'll just be fun to have people out of their shell. You get to know them better. So, and a lot of times fighters are asking me, hey, I want to do 5 minutes anyway. Because a lot of fighters do comedy on their own.
Do they really? I didn't even know that.
Yeah, well, like Eve Edwards has done stand-up. Leslie Smith has done stand-up.
Listen to me. I'm sorry, Adam. Now, I love you. I like you. We're cool. I like you a lot. I can't love you. I don't want to throw love around because I don't want to be that guy, but I really
You didn't have to downgrade it mid-sentence. You didn't have to.
But I like Adam so much that it's not awkward.
Adam, you're a good dude. You're an average dude. You didn't have to.
Listen, I like, you know how much I like Adam, but this is the point, Adam. I want to talk about honesty. Now, I know Eve Edwards. I fought him 20 years ago. Literally. In September, like a few weeks ago, it was our anniversary. We joked about it. We had him on. But I am willing. I'm not a betting man, but listen to me. I'm willing to bet that he's not funny. I love Eve Edwards. I'm not looking for a rematch, but something tells me unless the, now Dean Thomas, I think, listen to me. Dean Thomas is actually funny. I'm being honest. He's funny. I break his balls. He's funny and he's gifted. And I really, Eve is my buddy and I hope he makes it in life with everything he does. But he's not going to be on the next fucking Def Comedy Jam. He is not fucking funny, and I don't give a shit. What do you say?
Well, hold on. Adam, was he?
Eve Edwards. I want to hear his set. Could you play his set for us,
Eve Edwards? All right. Eve Edwards was a little reserved. He's kind of a shy person. He is funny. He's got funny material. He's funny. He just needed more work at it because, like anyone else, you know, you're funniest when you're around your friends. Well, it takes years to kind of have that confidence when you're around strangers to pretend they're your friends. So he kind of needed that, but he is funny. I mean, he is funny. Was he a crusher? Could he do 45 minutes to end? No. Was it a solid 5 minutes? Yes. Was it a solid 5 minutes like following like six guys showcasing for the Tonight Show? And would that 5 minutes hold up? No. It was decent. It was better than 90% of comedians when they first start.
Picture if Eve Edwards was just a guy walking into the fucking place and, oh, what is this? You don't know anything about him. He's not a guy that used to be called the dentist because he'd get that tight clinch and he'd fucking knee your face off. He's not the guy that fucking kicked fucking Josh Thompson's head off into the fucking first row. He's not that guy. He's just a regular guy.
He had a couple funny jokes within the 5 minutes, but did he need work? Absolutely. I'll tell you the crazy, but then one of the funniest things, Stefan Bonner did stand-up comedy, right? So Stefan Bonner calls me up. I want to do comedy. I'm like, I'm going to Vegas, do a show called The Dirty at 12:30 at the South Point. So I said, all right, come down to The Dirty. I'll throw you up. Okay. He shows up. He's wearing a tight shirt. I don't know what he's on, but he's on something. Like you could tell so he goes up there and he starts reading his jokes. People think it might be like an Andy Kaufman type thing. Like he's like looking at his, like he's sort of, he didn't even know what was going on. Right. So
is not an MMA crowd, right? This is a regular crowd.
No. He had a couple laughs in the beginning and then people were like, is he fucking with us? Kind of a thing. Right. So I'm giving him the light. He doesn't know what the light is. We didn't explain to him what the light was like to get off stage. So he's past 7, 8, 9 minutes, right? Now I'm walking up to the stage so it was his first time ever.
Was he killing?
It didn't go that well, but it wasn't horrific. But here's what, so after the show, some fucking drunk guy goes up to him. He's like, yo, Stefan Bonner, man, you're my favorite comic, but your comedy sucked. He goes, that was fucking awful. He goes, you need to go back to fighting, right? I'm just like, no, fucking no, right? It's 2 o'clock in the morning, right? The guy's like, yeah, man. So then I'm like, all right, thanks, man. You shouldn't say it's anybody, you know, sorry, but, you know, have a good night. We walk into the room. It's just me and him in the green room. The fucking guy follows us in there, right? This guy's like, looks like me, pudgier, fatter, out of shape, you know, 5'8", 5'9", drunk. He goes, Stefan Bonner, man, you were fucking terrible. He goes, you really got to go back to fighting. Puts his hand around Stefan's shoulder. Stefan takes him, puts him in this like fucking wrist lock like Steven Seagal and throws the guy in his fucking head. Like the guy's feet just go like this. And he goes, "Who sucks now, motherfucker?" Right. And he fucking like, so then I have to jump on I'm on his back like a child, like fucking Stephen, you can't get the fucking crowd. Like the guy gets up and just fucking runs out of the room. And I was like, holy shit. He goes, "The guy said I fucking suck." I go, I know. Dude, I've never seen anyone's fucking feet just like it was. And then Stefan, it was like a Hapkido black belt or something. So it was fucking crazy. That was the crazy. Thank God the guy was an MMA fan. I knew a guy who knew him who said that was the highlight of his whole year. But that was fucking crazy. That was a crazy story.
But I disagree with you on one thing. That's exactly what Stefan Bonner should do to anybody who's fucking annoying from the audience. It's what I wish I could do. You know how many times I wanted to pick somebody up and slam them on the fucking ground? That's how he should handle hecklers. If someone's ordering a drink too loud, they should be strangled. They should be fucking thrown to the floor. Oh, I wish I was Stefan Bonner. Ooh, would I love to do that to somebody.
I think the crowd's probably, you know, when you do this thing with those UFC fighters, they're probably a little lenient. Kind of like they were with me that time, Adam, when we did that thing at the...
Yeah. I mean, they were 90. Look, it was all people that knew what they were getting into.
Yeah.
None of them. There was like six girls that just came to the show by accident, a bachelorette party. And like, as soon as I got into my MMA jokes, they got up and left. Like they were not there, you know. You know who was actually was really good was Tyron Woodley, his first time.
Really?
Yes. Yeah. Woodley did stand-up comedy and he was rapping and singing on stage. He told the whole crowd to say the N-word to him as a joke. And then one like white dude was like yelled out. It was kind of funny. That's
interesting. He did some crowd work.
But he was good. Like he was legitimately funny. And then I did comedy. Sam Alvey did comedy. He kind of had a rough time.
Sam Alvey.
He's always smiling. How could they not like him? He's so happy looking.
I can picture them boo, and he's just got that grin on. Oh shit. You're right. I guess that's several people right there.
I didn't realize that.
Toothless Tom did comedy. Tom Galicchio. He's actually got some funny jokes. He's pretty funny. Uncle Creepy does comedy. Depending on how many mushrooms he's done, he could be really funny or just.
Oh.
There's a lot of fighters now that want to do stand up comedy, and I'm like. I think Sokaju did it.
Who? Oh, Sokaju?
Sokaju did comedy.
You know, I imagine, though, we had Chael on, and I thought you made a good choice using Chael and Henry, because those guys are both so good on the mic. It's a different translation of stand-up, as you know, but I still think those are really smart choices.
Yeah, well, Henry I worked with. Henry and me got together, because at the beginning he was like, going to go out there and be like, I'm the king of cringe. I'm the, you know, 27 pounds of steel. And I'm like, all right, let's not do this character. let's talk about your life, you know? And he started telling me how his father was a crackhead and got arrested for like fraud because his uncle was a doctor and his dad was stealing his doctor's equipment and going around charging people as a doctor. And he had seven brothers, but he hadn't seen his dad since he was like, he was four. So I'm like, all right, that's some comedy right there. Like, you know. Yeah.
Oh, there you go. That's hysterical. What?
Yeah, that's exactly what you got to build from. It's great.
Yeah, I got you. I'm fucking around.
So then I go, all right, what was
the death in the family? It's fucking, there you go. I'm on the floor.
But that's really kind of, it's funny. I mean, but like Norton was like crucial at that. You go up there, you see the most, fucking like if somebody goes up there, if everyone's doing Trump jokes and then the fourth guy goes up there and goes, I found out I had AIDS today. Like everyone's gonna be like, what? You know?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
You get people.
And then you tie it in and you go, but I got it from Trump. There you go. And then everybody's happy.
So I'm like, Henry, let's focus on that. Let's focus on when you won the Olympics. And then we made jokes of like, I wear the Olympic medal around my neck during sex, let girls know who comes first. Like we just had, you know, a lot of that. And then, you know, we worked it out and he was great. He was humble. He was personally, I think this is how he should be and just knocked the fucking cringe gimmick because here's a guy that literally came, like the first bet he ever had was when he was 13 years old, made the U.S. Olympic team. He never had his own bed. They like bought him a bed. And then he's just like, he literally came from nothing.
Man, would you have the heart to tell somebody they're not made out for it? What about either? That goes for either one of you. Would you have the heart? Somebody's like, oh, I got a dream of being a comedian. And you've seen it. You're like, yo, I should just have this guy save some time and get a fucking civil service job. Would you have the balls to do that? Cause you have to kind of know when someone's like, for instance, let's say if Eve Edwards goes, look at him. I'm putting all my eggs in this one basket. I love Eve, but dude, you gotta listen. And not Eve Edwards, he's my friend. But let's say if somebody else, would you tell him, Adam? Would you?
I mean, I would tell him that it's going to take a lot of work. Because it's one of those things where it just takes so much work to be good. Right. And the thing is, like I mean, I'm sure Jim knows. Like, there are so many guys out there, like guys like Dave Attell, who I used to hear would just bomb, 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 bomb. Yeah. And then one thing time, something clicked. And then he became one of the best comics ever. So it's kind of like jiu-jitsu. A guy walks into a jiu-jitsu thing. You can't tell if they're going to be good in the first, like, year, can you?
No, listen, it's so funny you said that, because there's different cases with that, with jiu-jitsu, where some people, you see them repping, and then just by showing up, next thing you know, they're just doing phenomenal. It's like, oh my God. And then there's other kids that just get on there. You're like, oh, this kid's very natural. Like, you know.
Yeah.
But that thing, jiu-jitsu really is the tortoise and the hare type of thing, where if you just stay on those mats, you could be unathletic and everything else, and you'll still get to that same goal, you know, or close to it. You can become very good. But I don't think it's the same thing with comedy. I think you two guys are funny guys, so it's easy for you to say. But I think either you got it or maybe you don't.
There are guys who stink, Matt. You're right. There are guys, and I knew them like in the beginning, like when I started, they wanted to be funny so bad. And I would just think, oh, God love him. There's not a funny fucking bone in this guy's body. He stinks. Like, he just, there's nothing. It hasn't saturated into him at all. He's like a dry sponge. Like, you know what I mean? A dry sponge that nothing has soaked into. But I don't have the heart to break somebody's dreams either. Like, Adam, I would probably just go like, you know what? Work at it. You never know. Like, I don't want to tell someone you'll never be good, because you really don't know if they ever.
Yeah, but aren't those guys end up like doing corporate gigs? I feel like they're like those guys that just like, they're not funny, and you just tell them like the worst jokes, but then they're clean. So they like feel like this like void, a lot of them, of like, I need a guy who's going to come and like not offend anyone, you know?
Well, those are guys who are not funny to comedians. Like, there are guys who comedians are like, ugh, but the crowds like them. Well, this is like a guy who, like, we're talking about guys who are like not even funny to the crowd. Like, you know, this guy's who you'll look at, or I'll look at and go, that's a little hokey, but they'll kill in front of a fucking a corporate environment. Cause it's like, that's what people want. The crowd loves them. But people who just don't get laughs anywhere, like, even them, I can't hurt them.
Yeah. A lot of times you see like hot girls that fall in that category, but then they keep getting booked for some odd reason. They're like on every third show. But yeah, it's like,
well, the best thing to do is to, if somebody stinks, I think it's funny, just build them up completely. Tell them, you're the fucking, I've never seen anybody this good, this fast. And then really just watch the train wreck.
there's a guy that I worked with who books shows, who like, he'll book me on like the craziest shows, like a nudist resort. Or like I did that like a couple months ago. Like the crowd was naked, like fucking butt naked, which is like, I got a standing ovation. It was terrible. It was like the fattest, most like disgusting people you've ever seen. They were like, but it was,
no, I couldn't be
looking at some guy's, dick and ball sack while I'm telling it was fucking hilarious. And then I was like, you know, there is a jit. What was that?
Where was that? Like, where is that?
It was in like Temecula, by like, it was like a nudist resort colony, and you had to be naked. Like, literally, you couldn't go in the pool without being naked, or you couldn't go, like, they make you be naked to do activities. You can't just stick around. And then if you get a boner, they make you take a shower, and they're like, oh, he's a newbie. They're like, they judge you if you get a bone. And then they also judge the swinger. There's a swinger people on the thing, and they're like, oh, they're swingers. Well, we're not swingers. We're just nudists. It's like everyone has their own. but there's a guy that who like books all these gigs who always get bombs. And the like he's booked me like at old age homes, and the old people will be like, he can't perform. like they won't let him perform. Like people that are stuck in an old age home won't let this one guy. It's like one of the funniest things.
He bombs a lot.
Well, he bombs. Like, I mean, like he'll be like, "How did I do?" I'm like, "Some people stayed." Like I have to try that.
That's funny.
Like he'll walk a crowd in 7 minutes. He'll do a guest set and walk people. It's almost like a talent.
Yeah, you know, you really want to, like, I would probably book him on a lot of shows that I didn't want to do and just have him go up first and hopefully wreck everything.
Well, I heard Doug Stanhope used to go on like the radio saying he was the Christian comic. He would go on Christian radio shows to promote his shows. So all these like saying, and then these Christians would show up to the show and he would like walk them immediately. Just piss them off. And like he would go there just to piss people off.
Adam, when did you come up with the whole niche thing, your thing with the MMA jokes and everything? Because you're the only comic that really does it. Obviously, you got other material. You got into it before this. But you really found your thing with that. You know what I mean?
That was kind of an accident. Like, there's a comic named John Heffron who won Last Comic Standing, funny guy. And I was his opening act for a while. We were touring. And he got cast to host the MMA Awards, the first one. And he needed like some sketches for me to write. So we worked on like the like me and this guy, Joey Varner, we worked on this Dear Vandy sketch, Dear Vanderlei Silva, where Silva was the axe murderer and you could ask him questions. And then like Randy Couture had just been divorced like 7 times. It was like Randy Couture, divorce attorney. So he wrote all these sketches that kind of went viral. And then I was in the casino and Dana White was there. And I was like, "Hey, Dana," I introduced myself. I'm like, "You know, I wrote a bunch of these sketches and I'm a comic." And he said, "Oh, yeah, where are you performing?" I'm like, "Oh, I'm at the here." And then he's like, "I'll come tomorrow night and check you out." Well, he didn't come, but he called the venue and told the bouncer to let me know Dana couldn't make it, but he really appreciates the invite, which is like. So then I had an idea for he gave me his number and I had an idea for a show where I drive around in a truck called So You Think You're a Tough Guy. I drive around in a truck and the back of the truck, there's an octagon. And then it's like, and we have fighters and it's kind of like Cash Cab meets Bully Beatdown.
Yeah.
So all these people that like are like, "I could fucking beat that guy," you know. I'm like, "Well, now you could prove it." We just drive around and it's like a so I pitched it to Dana and he was like, "Listen, we're not even legal in like half the states. We can't have people driving around in trucks with fucking fights in the back, you know."
That's like a fucking lawsuit fucking
Yeah. It's a good idea though.
Yeah, he liked the idea. So then like a couple weeks later he called me up and he's like, "Hey man, I got I love Tosh.0. And I'm like, "You know, we should do this for fighting, for MMA, Tosh.0. So I want you to do these videos where you just make fun of, stuff and we'll produce them, we'll shoot them." So for like 3-4 years, I started like doing these like MMA roasted videos, but I would write like 100 jokes and they would use like 11 of them. So then I had like, 89 jokes that I couldn't use. Like, fuck. And I'm sure Jim knows, like, you hate just throwing away jokes. So I'm like, "Well, why don't I just put it on a Twitter page, MMA Roasted?" So then all of a sudden that started going like viral and all these people started like retweeting it and that. And then they hired me to, then I kept writing those award sketches. I wrote like Daniel Cormier, all about the cake video. And then
a great one.
A bunch of others like the, Uriah Faber, My Butt Chin Can Twerk. Just a lot of these. So then I started writing those things for that. And then Fox Sports hired me to do a thing where I pretend I'm fighters texting each other during fights called Text From Last Fight, where I'd have to like pretend I was like Matt Serra arguing with this guy and arguing with like Obama. And then it would like be this group text chat, but that, so then that kind of fucking like took a whole life of itself. And then the PFL hired me. And then, so it started kind of just becoming like a thing where I did that. So that's kind of how that all happened.
But dude, that's fucking awesome, man. Well, you found your fucking niche.
We have Loopy in the waiting room, Matt. Just so you know.
Oh, well, we could talk to fucking Adam forever.
I would love to have you for half the show and the whole show. You're really one of my favorite guests on this show.
You too. Jim, by the way, Jim was always one of those guys, man. Like when I was coming up, I was like, not to kiss your ass, but I was like 1999 and I was watching Norton and I never saw a comic to this day kill as hard as Jim Norton. Like, he'd walk into the cellar, like, bomb, bomb, bomb. It was the most, I think at the time you were living at your house in Staten Island and you were like pissed, or you were living with Florentine because half your jokes were about how, but it was the funniest shit. You had a joke about how your wife bought you Viagra, so you got her a treadmill. It was just
Yeah. And it was having erection difficulties. Yeah, we both blamed other problems. Yeah, yeah.
And it was just, but you were always nice. And like one of the few comics, because you see like these guys, they're nice to you when you reach a certain level, you know, but Jim was nice from day one, which was like really, really fucking cool.
Oh, cool. Thanks, man. Come back again soon, man. I think you're great. And I'm happy you're doing so well. It's good to see.
Anything you want to plug? Adam, anything you want
to
plug?
Yeah, where can people catch you?
This week I'm in Michigan at the Funniest Funny Comedy Club in Lansing, Michigan. Vegas, December 6th to the 11th at the Strat.
When does the wrestling show come out that you're doing that thing?
When I sell it, that's another.
Okay.
You know, but thank you guys, man. Thanks. Appreciate it.
All right, Adam. All right, pal. See you soon, Adam. Take care.
Later, buddy.
Ross has all the spring deals you want, so you can say yes to more looks for you and your budget. Tube tops for less? Yes. Dad shorts for the weekend? Yes. Mini skirts for less than online? That's a yes for you and your bank account. Find your certified yes for me moment and save 20 to 60% off department store prices every day at Ross. Hurry in for spring deals today. Items and styles vary by store.
Hi, I'm Ariana Maddox. Whether I'm on TV or Broadway, I live by two rules. Follow your dreams and always wear great shoes. That's why I love DSW. Must-have shoes that pair well with whatever you've dreamed up for your life. Seriously, DSW has all the shoes you need for everything, from errand days to date nights. And they're from top brands at prices you can totally brag to all your friends about. That's why I've partnered with DSW to create a collection of shoes I know you'll love. Because, let's be real, whether I'm dancing on TV, teaching you how to make the perfect cocktail in my best-selling book, or starting a whole new venture, it's all about the shoes. Find the shoes to do all the amazing things you do in my new collection at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Luby, I'm sorry to keep you waiting.
No, it's all good. How are you guys?
Good.
Hey, I'll tell you, it doesn't look like you lost the fight, Luby.
Yes.
I'll tell you, you don't got a mark on you.
Yeah, I don't know. It's my fault, I guess, for leaving it to the judges.
You know what, though? It still was a close fight, Luby, and really close. And you took that on, you know, again, you came around. You won the fight the week earlier. You went right back in there. No regrets, right? What do you think?
No, definitely no. I think this actually helped my career, even though it was a loss and everything. I think it really helped me. So, yeah, I mean, and I love fighting. So just being in there is just, you know, honestly, for me, it's like if I can do it every weekend, I will do it.
You can tell you enjoy it, Luby. Oh, you're fun to watch. Now, for the audience, we want to get to know you. What did you get started with? Where did you grow up? And what was your first discipline? What was your first martial art?
Yeah, so I'm from Mexico. I born there. And I moved to Canada when I was 14.
Okay.
With my whole family. We pretty much moved to Canada for dangerous situations like cartel, trying to get money from, you know, for the businesses. And if you don't give it to them, you're not allowed to work. You know, stuff like that.
What part of Mexico?
We were in Aguascalientes. Aguascalientes, yeah. Then, of course, my dad took my mom and my four sisters, because we are four girls. He just grabbed us and took us to different country, Canada. We had nothing. We started from scratch. No work for my parents. We couldn't go to school in Canada. We didn't have the proper papers to, like, start a life properly there. We had to, like, you know, my parents had to work really hard for that. I started, you know, cleaning cars, cleaning houses, cleaning bathrooms, cleaning, you know, picking up a can so I can get some cash and stuff like that. So it was like, you know, we grow a lot, and it's been like 12 years now, and, you know, they got a house now, they got their cars. My sisters go to a great university. I'm in the UFC, like, my sister, one of them, they got her own family. So, you know, everything. So it's pretty much how it's been my life. You know, it's every time it's like in uncomfortable situations where for me it's really easy to make a decision like, oh, yeah, I can fight tomorrow, no problem. It's not going to be the perfect scenario, probably. But I've been worse. I've done worse. So yeah.
So the cartels would come and ask for money, a percentage of like whatever your dad made or whatever, and he just knew that he had to get out of it.
Yeah, actually, to my uncles, last year, they had their business with cars and everything, and then they come to their business, and then they ask you for, let's say, $50,000, right? Okay, we need $50,000 a month. For what? Oh, to take care of you guys. From who? From us, to protect us from us, right?
Yeah, it's like the mob, so, yeah.
Yeah, so of course they couldn't afford that and they tried to make a deal. And if you don't pay that, they will just come back to your business and destroy your business. So my family, when they come back the next day to see, you know, to work, they see all the cars were shoot. They shoot all the cars, they shoot everything. So you're not allowed to work. So of course you get scared and then, you know, like you cannot work. They won't let you work. And that's pretty much what is some of the stuff that can happen.
So they had to get rid of the business, the car business.
Yeah, I mean they destroy all the cars. So I don't know what they did exactly, but they probably, you know, sold them super cheap, and now they're working somewhere else.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So have you been back since?
Yeah, I went 3 years ago, and I went like a couple months ago.
So when you got to Canada, is that when you began your martial arts training?
Oh, I started years later. So I started dating my boyfriend. He's like, oh, maybe you should start doing something. Then I started doing judo. Well, I did judo in Mexico, actually. I did judo in Mexico. Yeah, when I was a little kid.
Oh, okay. So you went back to judo. You went back to
I went back to judo. And right to competing, like after a month of training, like the coach is like, oh, you should compete. I started competing, hurt my knee, then pick up jujitsu. Then I saw in TV Ronda Rousey and, you know, judo background. So I was like, oh, I want to do that. But to be honest, since I was a little kid, I've been always like hitting kids and making them cry. I've always been like that. Yeah. Like they will give me like the toys. I will break them. I mean, all this like that. I wanted to do, exactly. Because I used to watch WWE. I was like, oh, when I grow up, that's what I want to do. And I want to do that. And when I saw MMA, I'm like, oh, never mind. I want to do that. So eventually after fighting, I want to probably do WWE just to say that I did it, because I wanted to do that as a little kid. And why not? But yeah, that's a little bit.
Did you know English before you went to Canada, or did you have to like start from scratch?
Oh, I didn't know anything. My parents or my sister, wow, didn't speak in English. Yeah, no, it was just our hands trying to figure it out things. Yeah,
that's scary. I mean, I've been like overseas, just on vacation to France and a couple of places. And like even in a store, just being there for a few minutes, I don't know how anybody. That's very scary to not speak the language everybody else is speaking. That's incredible that you guys, you know, you built a good life there.
Oh yeah, yeah. It was really hard in the beginning. Of course, you know, a lot of tears, yeah. A lot of crying. I cried for like a year straight. I remember.
You missed your friends, right?
Yeah, but how I didn't tell you this. So. My parents, they wouldn't tell me as a teenager, we're moving countries. Like, there is no way, right? Like, so they told us, we're going to Disneyland for vacation. So we arrived here, well, not here, but to Vancouver, to Canada. And then I'm like, what's going on? What's happening? Because I kind of like smelled something. Something wasn't sitting right. I was like, okay, this is not Disneyland. What the hell? What's happening? And then they're like, well, we're going to stay here. This is your new house. This is your new home. So we better start, you know, getting used to it and stuff. So, oh my God.
Didn't you realize it wasn't Disneyland by the Vancouver plane ticket? Like, you're like, wait a minute. We're supposed to be going to Florida. This is Vancouver.
Yeah,
well,
yeah, it was, I noticed it when we were there, and then they called Vancouver, Canada, too, because I was like, you know, they did everything, all the papers and everything.
Sure.
Like, I was like, wait, where are we going? Well, that's not Disneyland.
The line stopped there, right? They didn't point to a movie. No, there's a character.
Yeah.
They just wanted to get you out quick, though. They must have been really worried. They just wanted to get the hell out fast.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. Yeah. It's scary. It's scary. It's scary scenarios. And I have a lot of friends out there, brothers, their sisters, their family go kidnap because, you know, that like people like that I used to go to school with, like, you know, and when we first get out of there, it was when it started to get bad. So, yeah.
Well, no wonder why you're fearless in the cage. You look very comfortable in that cage. You look like right at home, like you're having a party.
Yeah, I love it. Honestly, I love it. It's my favorite place. Like, and believe it or not, like I used to get really nervous when I was amateur. I used to get so nervous and I couldn't perform properly. And then after like fights, a lot of fights, I don't get nervous. It's like, of course I do get nervous because I want to do well, but that's, I just get nervous for myself. Like I want to do well. But yeah, I feel fine. And then back to bad fights, it was like, this is my home.
Fighting someone 10 pounds heavier. Did you notice the difference in dealing with somebody heavy, even though you had some more weight on you as well?
I don't think it was, and I'm pretty strong too. So I don't think it was the weight advantage or anything like that. I think what threw me off a little bit, it was the height. She was really tall and I was trying to take her down and stuff. And I just couldn't get my shot right. Like she was really tall. And so I'm going to go back and work with tall people to get better at that. And then I can do it again.
But 115 is your home,
though. Oh, yeah. Yeah. My last fight, I only caught like 3-4 pounds.
Oh, that's wild.
Yeah. But I had a long camp because my first UFC fight, I caught like in 2 weeks, I had to cut like 25 pounds.
Oh, was that a short?
I had COVID. I had COVID and then I was shown notified for two weeks. So I took it.
How bad was the COVID for you? Did you just have it and not asymptomatic or did you get really sick?
I was sick. I had like a cold, like shiftly. And it was rough for about a week, but not to the hospital or nothing like that. But yeah, that was about it.
So how soon do you want to get back in there? You want to relax a little bit? Or you want to
relax?
Yeah, come on, Matt. You want to relax?
See that?
So I'm going to Mexico next month to train with Alexa Grasso because she's she has a fight coming up and she asked me to come out. So I'm going to go there and I'm going to be training super hard. So I'm going to be in shape. So in the beginning of the year, that will be great.
Right. Awesome. Well, I mean,
yeah, that's great. Yeah. It was amazing that you turned around so fast. And again, it was still a good fight. So, you know, again, that could backfire on somebody and it didn't seem to backfire on you at all.
Yeah, no. And you know what? I was in vacation already. I was in Georgia, visiting my family. We're in Florida right now. We came to, to the beach and,
to Disneyland. Go to Disneyland.
So yeah, finally, right? I can't. So I was like with my family and then I get the call of my management. I was running and then I was like, yeah, sure. I send it to Ken, to Nabil. They watch the fights. I don't even know who she was or nothing. And then Ken is like, you know what? Let's do it. I was like, okay, if you guys think I should do it, I'm going to do it. Then I say yes. Me not knowing who the hell was she, nothing. Then I come to the house, I see her, I was like, oh yeah, that's fine, I'll take it, whatever, like, that's fine. And then the next day I was on my plane, I was already in Vegas, and now I'm back here, keep going with my vacation, and then Thursday I go back to work.
So you didn't even have time to think, it was just kind of, all the pre-fight ritual stuff that you might normally do was out the window, you just said, all right, I'll turn around, I'll go, and I'll fight.
Yeah, after my last fight, honestly, the next day I was working out at the gym, because it was a super short fight, so it's nothing to celebrate, right? It was just too short to celebrate, to feel it.
Well, shoot, Loopy. Hey, Loopy, give us something unrelated to MMA that you like to do, like a hobby. I know you're training all the time, besides training.
Yeah. I love to hang out with my dog. I love my dog.
Oh, what kind of dog?
He's a Formosa Monta dog, and he's a rescue from Taiwan.
Oh, nice.
Oh, how cute.
Yeah,
that's cute. You take your dog for walks. What are you? You just take him to the
park? Yeah, park, little hikes. Yeah, stuff like that every day. He's like almost 50 pounds. Not quite, but 50, yeah.
Now, how do you, are you able to fly with him?
No, he's at home. I can't wait to see him. Oh. Yeah. Well, yeah, I think he will hate the plane. He will hate it. He's a, those dogs are really nervous, like really anxious. And he's also a rescue. So yeah, he has a little like, you know, things.
You should film when you go pick him up and see how excited he gets when he
yeah. Okay, I will. Yeah. Well, actually, my boyfriend is going to pick me up at the airport and then he brings him.
Oh, that's
so I'll film that because he's like, where is mommy? Where is mommy? And then he's like going like that, like crazy looking for me. Yeah, that's pretty cute.
Those videos of like the returning soldiers or a dog that got found, you know, sometimes Jimmy gets emotional. When Jimmy watches that, he gets emotional. I tease him.
I go, I get emotional too.
Loopy, I kid. I said Jimmy, but it's really me. I get emotional over that, Loopy. It's so cute, Jimmy, because the dogs, they have that unconditional love. You know?
Yeah.
I tell my friends at a certain age when I know they're going to be single, when they don't want to have a family, I go, well, when you're around 40, that's when you're going to need that unconditional love, and I guarantee you're going to get a dog. And they all do.
Yeah. 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 No, they're great, honestly.
I'm 53. I've never had one. I've never had a dog. No, I probably, I got a fish and they were not fun at all. They just look at you all day. Fish suck.
Yeah. Yeah. No, dogs are the best. I want to go to Mexico and get some dogs and bring them to Canada and find them home and stuff like that. Eventually, that's something that I really want to do.
Yeah. Do you have any kids?
No.
Okay. Yeah. So you have a lot of, it's nice to do that. If you have kids, you're probably busy doing that. But if you got dogs, yeah, you know, it's a nice thing to do.
Yeah. My sister has some kids here. When I'm this sister here, two kids. And I'm pretty busy with those. That's a lot of work.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, it's fun to be an uncle or an aunt, though, right? Because you can hang out with the kids and give them back and then go home.
Yeah, and give them back. Yeah.
Give them back. That's great.
Well, right, Loopy, look, it was good talking to you. And congratulations on at least that was a good fight. And pretty amazing what you did turning around that fast. And I'm sure we'll see you again early 2022.
Thank you. Honestly, it's just my team. Like, they give me so much confidence, you know, they train, like, they're amazing. Like, who, like, you know, Ken and Nabil, you guys know them. Like, they are ready, you know, they're probably having their plans. And then there is me. Hey, you got to come back to Vegas.
Yes, get on the plane. Go back.
Yeah, so, you know, my boyfriend too, I mean, he's, you know, he's already back getting their life together again, going, and then, oh, never mind, we got to go back. So that's pretty amazing, you know, I'm really thankful for them.
Yeah, they were happy.
Good. Awesome, Loopy. Hey, thanks for coming on, and come back on again when you got a fight planned.
Yeah, will do. Thank you very much for having me, guys.
All right, nice talking to you. See you later.
Bye.
Take care.
Newsflash, you can lose weight like a celebrity without being a celebrity. New Glucotrim from GNC delivers serious results with a proven formula, and you don't need a crazy expensive prescription. So get on that celebrity weight loss level with New Glucotrim. Get it at GNC.
Dunkin' cold coffee can be brewed at home in your Keurig coffee maker with Dunkin' cold K-Cup pods. Just brew it hot over ice and enjoy flavor that's crafted to serve cold. The home with Dunkin' is where you want to be.
Thank you to Loopy and to Adam Hunter. Really, really good to have them on. And again, I love Adam, so I'd love to have him back soon.
And I'm going to go back. I'm going to change my original statement. I'm going to say I love him too. I made that. Jimmy.
It's a little late, Matt.
Jimmy, I could be awkward sometimes.
I know, me too.
Sometimes I could be, I don't want to sound like a kid, but I could be mad awkward. And then I just, you know.
Very youthful. I was very youthful.
I try to be youthful. Yeah, Jimmy. You know, I like doing that. And by the way, I apologize to Eve Edwards. I think he could make it as a comedian. Now I'm fucking around. But I love Eve. I just want to point out that, you know, with the comedy, he's no fucking Dean Thomas. But listen, Jimmy, I miss you already. I'm going to see
you in a
couple of days. We're going to be back.
Yep.
And when we do, we will talk about the fights that we did not talk about this week.
Bet we will.
Yeah, right? Wait, hold on. Jimmy, no. Before we go, though, really quick. I know. I don't want to. Aspen Ladd versus Norma Dumont did what she had to do, kept her away. Aspen Ladd had little glimpses of the Aspen Ladd that we enjoy fighting, but the fight was the fight. Unlike the whole rest of the other card, that the main event was a stinker. I didn't fucking like it. Really quick, Jim Miller, the ageless Jim Miller.
Oh my God, that second round! What a fucking off a missed kick. What a beautiful, that left is a thing of beauty.
He's phenomenal. And then Nate Landwehr, that was going to be on today. Again, man, he got that anaconda choke in the third round. He was not picked the favorite in that fight. And then he took out Klein with that, and that was a beautiful thing. And Andre Arlovski, man, this was the theme of this one, was the old school.
That's right.
Coming out ahead. I do not know what Carlos Felipe was upset about. He really was he was acting like he should have got that decision hands down, and way too close to act like that. It's just way too close. So that's something to make note for the future. And then last but not least on the main card, was it Jimmy?
It was a great fight.
You're so, Jimmy, I never threatened you. I would pick you up and not put you down if we were in the studio. And you'd get uncomfortable. You'd kick
me. I wouldn't mind.
But listen, what was it?
Manafiarot.
Yeah.
Buena Silva. Yeah.
It was a unanimous decision.
I'm reading off my phone, by the way, because my setup. I don't have my normal setup, so it's hard for me to.
Jimmy, either way, I love you. We had a fun show. Thank you for having me. Anything you want to plug, my friend?
Nope. I'm going to be in Philadelphia at the end of the month at the Helium Comedy Club. If you want to see me, it's the last Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, like 28th through the 31st. Come see me in Philly.
That's it. I'm on Cameo, Matt Serra. Matt Serra BJJ on Instagram. And SerraBJJ.com. If you're in Huntington, New York, you want a jiu-jitsu lesson, you know, come say hi. Or you want to get a fucking t-shirt. All right, Jimmy, love you. See you in a couple of days.
All right, pal. See you soon. Bye, guys.
Hey, parents. Greenlight is here to take one big thing off your to-do list, teaching your kids about money. With a Greenlight debit card and money app of their own, kids and teens learn to earn, save, and invest. You can send money instantly, set flexible controls, and get real-time notifications of your kids' money activity. Set up chores and put allowance on autopilot to reward them for their hard work. Then learn about the world of money together. Get 1 month free when you sign up at greenlight.com/podcast.
The living room is where you make life's most beautiful memories. But your sofa shouldn't be the one remembering them. The new life-resistant, high-performance furniture collection from Ashley is designed to withstand all the spills, slip-ups, and muddy paws that come with the best parts of life. Ashley high-performance sofas and recliners are soft, on-trend, and easy to clean. Shop the high-performance furniture in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.